Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not able to get the win. First loss of the season for the Cavaliers, and it comes to the defending champs. This could be fun as you get through the regular season and get to the playoffs. We'll see about that. Gentleman who covers a lot of things in the NBA, but as a Boston Celtics guy, he writes for the Boston Globe and has done a great job for many, many years in Boston. Joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Gary Washburn. Gary, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Hey, before we get into last night's game, we have a gentleman who calls our show all the time, and he calls himself the Bostonian. He's been around calling Cleveland talk shows forever. He'll love this. You have a book out, The Boston Celtics, An Illustrated Timeline. His wife needs to buy this for him for the holidays.
I hope so, yeah. I think everybody needs to buy this book for the holidays.
Explain the book for us.
It's a pictorial history with vignettes, the entire history of the Celtics franchise from 1946 all the way up until the championship a few months ago. Just the top moments, players, games, all of the above. So if you're a fan looking for just the history, if you want to relive memories, or you want to, you know, learn about people you only seen on black and white videos or pictures, you can learn about them. And it's definitely describes a lot of the top moments in the history of a pretty prestigious franchise.
All right, so we'll get Mrs. Bostonian on that. The Boston Celtics, An Illustrated Timeline by Gary Washburn. You can get it anywhere you can get books, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amazon, all that. Even eBay, I think it was available.
Awesome. So, that's terrific.
I just hope you left the floor out from last night, because if there's one thing that shouldn't be messed with, it's the floor in Boston. Oh,
the parquet is beautiful.
It is amazing. It's just...
So iconic, and
then
we had something last night that looked like it was from Nickelodeon and slimed up.
Yeah, my eyes still hurt.
Yeah, that was that. Three different shades of green. You got to love that, right?
So last night, we had talked about this going in. Celtics put up threes like nobody's business. Cavs hadn't defended the three very well this year. It turned into a problem. What's more likely to continue, that the Celtics are going to kill people with threes, or the Cavs are going to not be able to defend the three well? Because I think it could ultimately be a huge problem for the Cavs if they meet the Celtics in the playoffs.
I think the Cavs will figure something out in terms of defending the three. I watched a couple of those previous games against the Hornets and the Bulls, and they did allow a lot of threes, and they were clogging up the paint. And that's how those teams were able to stay with the Cavs, although the Cavs just had enough offense to pull away in the end of both of those games. But I think the Cavs will figure some things out. And obviously, last night they didn't have Dean Wade, they didn't have Caris LeVert, they didn't have Okoro. You know, Wade and Okoro are two of their top wing defenders. So, I'd give them a pass on this one. I was very impressed with the Cavs. I thought that they played hard. They didn't necessarily play well. Obviously, Darius Garland had a horrible offensive game. But I thought that all their guys seemed connected. You know, I hadn't known much about Craig Porter Jr. Then he turned into Kobe in the second half. But me I was impressed with the Cavs. Obviously, the Celtics are a good team, but the Cavs are by far this. I mean, I don't think there's a team that compares to these two in the East. I don't think the Knicks. I don't obviously the Bucks and the Heat, and the Magic are playing well without Banchero. But I think these are by far the top two teams in the East.
What was the feeling like after the game for Bot? Was it like? You know, we have those regular season games. They're regular season games, kind of like, okay, go. Was it a feeling of accomplishment last night because the Cavs had the win streak? Because, you know, I hope this is the battle the whole season long. I think it's going to be fun if it is. But was there more of a sense of, hey, that was a good team we beat tonight, and just that feeling?
Yeah, especially lately. They haven't played their best ball. They lost that first in-season tournament game to Atlanta where they kind of blew it. They were taken to overtime by Toronto, which has like, I think, 0-8 on the road. They were taken to overtime by Brooklyn. So they had not played their best basketball in the last couple of weeks. So they were looking for a good game. And they wanted to see, okay, what's going to happen when the best team in the league, the team with the best record, hot, you know, not fully with all their players, but with a lot of them, right? Mitchell, Garland, the two bigs, come in and they're ready to, they want to continue this streak. Like they're not, they want to atone for last year's playoffs. They got a new coach. How do they fare against the Cavs? And I think that they felt like, okay, you know, we slipped in the third quarter, but they made some adjustments. They were able to pull out the game. And I think they came away with one, a high level of respect for Cleveland, and two, knowing that, they're probably, obviously they meet in about a week and a half in Cleveland, but knowing that they're probably going to see them again maybe in the Eastern Conference Final. So a high level of respect, but I think kind of relief that, okay, we played well against a really high-quality team.
Gary Washburn joining us. He is the Boston Globe's national NBA writer. Kristaps Porzingis sat there looking daunting in his pretty cool-looking suit last night. How's his health, and what does he add to that Celtic team? Because I've always loved the guy's game. The issue is when is he healthy and can he stay that way?
Yeah, he's just had a kind of a scrimmage. He looked good in that scrimmage. I think he's probably 2 weeks away, maybe 3 weeks away, maybe early December that he can come back. I think that's what they had planned, and they're bringing him along slowly. And like you said, like, He's a fragile guy, so bring him back quickly or try to get him on the floor ASAP. That they're not going to do that, so they're going to give him plenty of more time to ramp up, to get him, try to get him in basketball shape. And obviously, he offers more rim protection. He spreads the floor. He brings Allen or Mobley completely away from the basket. The one thing that they don't have, Horford was able to do that. He had 4 threes last night. But when they're playing a guy like Kata, you know, Mobley or Allen can kind of park in the paint and rim protect. And that's what happened last night. I mean, those two guys changed a lot of shots and scared and prevented others, scared the Celtics into dribbling back outside or passing back outside because of the threat of the block. What Porzingis can do is maybe drag one of those guys away from the basket and make he open up the paint. But we'll see. You know, and he does provide a level of rim protection that the Celtics don't have now. As you guys saw, the Celtics are a little soft in the middle, and Cleveland went to work in the paint with Mobley, with Mitchell, you know, and guys, you know, slicing, you know, Niang and Jerome, you know, slicing to the basket for layups, and they've got to improve on that.
When I'm just looking at the league as a whole, it's interesting to look at the power rankings early on. It's like, the Cavs and the Celtics are the only two teams in the East, is the way it looks. And Jeff and I were talking about this yesterday. There's just no way we're expecting the rest of the season to play out that way in the East. That whether it's the Knicks or Philly, if they can get healthy, or you know, how do you see the East playing out this year? Because I keep looking at this and I'm like, it's going to be more than just two teams.
Yeah, you know what I think is going to happen is I think one of these teams is going to really get it together, but a slow start's going to cost them, so they're going to be maybe a fifth or sixth seed. So that second round series with the Cavs that play or the Celtics play is going to be probably a really dangerous series because you're probably going to play the Bucks, or you're going to play a healthy Philadelphia, or you're going to play a team that's, you know, a healthy Miami that's, you know, maybe won, you know, 25 of its last 35 games or something like that after a slow start. I wouldn't be fooled by these slow starts, but I also think the East is just, it's really, really average at this point. You know, you've got Cleveland, you've got the Celtics, Orlando's playing well, the Knicks are starting to put something together. But other than that, I think four teams have winning records, the other 11 don't. And you got Detroit in there playing better. Charlotte, as you guys saw, is better. Philadelphia's in the dumps. Toronto looks like they're headed for the lottery. But there's that, you know, the middle of those teams, the Indianas, the Miamis, you know, what are they going to do? Because, you know, one of those teams is going to get hot. One of those teams is going to be dangerous in the playoffs.
Gary, there was some, you know, rumbling coming out of Boston years ago. All right, yeah, you got Jason Tatum, you got Jaylen Brown. They're both terrific players. They're not going to be able to play together long term. They've played together long term. They've made it work. How did they make it work? How did the Celtics make it work?
I think both sacrificed, both realized how important each other was to their success. And I think that they gained more confidence and both became more versatile. Jason, as you guys saw, is more of a playmaker than he used to be. He's not just strictly score the ball or get to the rim or shoot the three. He'll give you seven or eight assists. Jaylen had a game-high eight assists. Jaylen's made himself more of a complete player. Obviously, you know, he still struggles at times with his handle, and, you know, he can be erratic at times. But when he's locked in and Jason's locked in, they bring some of the same elements, but they also bring different elements. And I think that that's what has helped the Celtics get to that next level is both of those guys have expanded their games. They're both not just like, okay, you score, now I score, now you score. Like, when Jason's hot, Jaylen gives it up. When the same thing, when Jaylen's hot, Jason gives it to him. Like, they don't mind being distributors and playmakers, and I think that's what's been critical.
Gary, thank you very much. Great to have you with us. If you need a holiday gift for a Celtics fan, the Boston Celtics, an illustrated timeline by Gary Washburn. He's the national NBA writer for the Boston Globe. Great to have you with us again, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot.
Gary joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe was just with us, and welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps, Sandy Baskin, Dan Menigan. Meredith's taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. Gary said real clear, Cavs, Celtics, top two teams in the East right now, and maybe for a long time. Are you there yet? I'm not.
I feel like to start the season, they're there. They're the top team of the second tier behind Boston. How's that sound? And they're not that far behind.
I think Boston's
in their own tier
right
now.
You do? You really do?
Right now. I mean, through 16 games. Yeah, I'm not going to say that that's the way it's going to play out for the rest of the season. But, I mean, these other teams are struggling and, you know, injuries. You don't know how guys are going to return back. And, I believe that. I believe Boston's kind of on its own level. And then the Cavs are next. And then, you know, fill in the blank. I'm not going to count Milwaukee out. But even though they're a mess,
I can't put the Cavs not in the same tier as the Celtics right now.
They're in the same tier or they're not?
I think they have to be after their great start. Now, the one thing, and Kenny Atkinson, you know, has vocalized, you know, we haven't had the toughest schedule to start. Well, in the NBA, you can play anybody. You win 15 straight games. I mean, that, you know, we know the way the NBA works, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you win 15 straight games, it doesn't matter who's on the schedule. You're supposed to have schedule losses and blah, 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 and everything else. They haven't done that yet. I got to put them right there with Boston in the top tier. But I also think that they could drop down to the second tier you're talking about, Andy. And I think Milwaukee is a team that will, you know, get its act together and probably make a trade. I wonder if Philadelphia will, only because of health. If Philadelphia is healthy, I think they're clearly in that conversation. And then I think Orlando might continue to develop. Banchero's out. That hurts them terribly. I like Indiana. I think there are other teams that could come up there. But as I look at the Cavs team, I'd love to say I'd love to add one thing to it, a piece here or there, whatever, you know, tinkering. Still would love to get that wing piece. But the way that Kenny Atkinson is using his entire team has sold the team on fewer minutes for more quality minutes and more energy. And the fact that Caris LeVert's been really good, and that helps. That Dean Wade has been good, that helps. Okoro does his thing that is helpful. I think that might be able to hold you to not have to make a trade to pick up somebody like on the wing. And here's the other thing. I think
doesn't it feel like last night was another night that made me think they need you, especially defensively.
Well, you're going up against Tatum and Brown. You know what I mean?
Well, you want to win, you got to figure out a way to shut those guys down.
If you have Darius Garland on one of those guys, you're in big trouble. And, you know, look at the Cavs team. Who else are you going to have on them? You know, if you have Isaac Okoro on the floor the whole time, okay, but he doesn't help your offense any. But he might slow those guys down a little. That means the other guys have to pick it up. The one thing about the wing spot, and I'm not sure I completely believe this, but I'm going to go with it anyway. The way they're playing offense right now, with moving the ball, moving bodies, sharing shots for the most part, even though the last couple of games have been a concern for me, I think that can slightly cover up a problem on the wing, if there is a problem.
Oh, okay.
You know, you could put Caris there, and it's okay. You know, I'm very fond of Caris's game. Max Strus can help you there. I think by playing a more Golden State Warrior style of ball, which is what they're doing, which is what Kenny was with Steve Kerr for the last several years, I think that can cover up and make it a little bit more positionless basketball. But you're on the money when you say, okay, yeah, until you run up against Tatum and Brown or a team that has two or three really, really good wing guys who are 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah, I just feel like last night there's separate. It's not very far. Is it a basket? Is it a two basket separation between the Cavs and the Celtics? Yeah, that's what I think it is. There were points last night. I was like, wow, like we are not there. But there's something about the build of this roster, and you talk about being able to use guys off the bench, and that, you know, two out of your eight players last night were in double figures, and that you didn't quit, and that you kept going, and you came back, and we've seen that kind of storyline all season for the Cavaliers. That gives you great hope for this season. I don't know how the other teams are going to play out, and I'm also fearful of like getting way too excited and then realizing and remembering when we get there, because it's a long way away, that the playoffs are just a different beast. They're not the same as, you know, oh, we won 15 in a row. That's not like, you know, winning a couple of four-game series by sweeps. It's not what it is. And so, you know, as we watch this thing mature, I think, and then grow under a new head coach, I'm wondering what the trade deadline is going to look like. Like that to me, how will they try to, because you know the Cavs will try to pick somebody up to try to help. If they think there's a player that can help them beat Boston, I don't. That's the MO of the franchise. I know you're looking at me with one eye.
No,
I'm not. I don't know who the player is.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that. The one thing that makes me pause on that, Kenny Atkinson's doing a great job of getting a lot out of these guys in the rotation to the point where I don't know who they would want to move. You know what I mean?
Expiring contract kind of deal. I mean, you could figure out something that maybe you just churn the bottom of the roster a little bit. Yeah. Or somebody's trying to dump a decent salary and you're willing to take on a little bit more in cap hit.
If you're truly going to play 10 guys, then you might be able to move one of those 10 guys and have him, you know, here's the advertisement. Look at how he's been playing this year. And you can move him and something else and get, you know, get something in return. Remember, they don't have first-round picks to move.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Good yes. Point. Yeah. Yeah, there is that, isn't there?
Oh, you love to hang your hat on that.
Oh, I'm not hanging my hat on anything.
Do you still feel like today they spent too much on Mitchell or no?
Dave, I will always feel they gave up too much. I think he's outstanding. I'm glad he's here. He's a really good NBA player. I loved him when he was in Utah. I thought he was really good. I think he gave up too much. I just always feel that way. Bill's in Parma. Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, good afternoon, you guys.
Good. Feel like it's a great program today or just a regular program?
Wow.
Oh, no. This is platinum.
Oh, all right.
It's platinum.
Sweet.
No. I have to, and Andy, you always do great, but Jeff has said forever and ever that the Cavs are like real estate. It's not location, location, location. Right now it's Mobley, Mobley, Mobley. And what bothered me about the game last night, and I get it, it's one game, and I get it, you know, not everything falls in. What was so disappointing was, it's almost like fell off the wagon. And that is this passing the ball around. As a matter of fact, when Garland got to be 1-6, I turned the TV off. I couldn't take it. And then I looked a little bit later, and he was 1-11. And I said to myself, I can't watch it. I mean, there's no excuse for that. I've heard people say to me today, well, he was too amped up. The problem right now is, and correct me, this is my opinion, and you guys, I respect yours. Problem right now, just like the gentleman, Mr. Washburn, said just a few minutes ago, this is Tatum and Brown's team, the Celtics. Whose team is this? The team is Mitchell and Mobley.
I think ultimately that's the way this team is going to excel.
Right. And Jeff, I agree. What bothers me is that here's Garland, and I'm not blaming him. Believe me, I'm not blaming him. But here's the mindset that's out there right now. For a while, they had sold him that he was the next, person. They gave him a $40 million contract, which tells you that he's the next person. He goes out on that court, and he himself says, I'm a $40 million player. I am going to show these people who I am. And there's a lot of ego when they go on that court. What we saw last night was really a confusion of who he is, how this team plays, and what their roles are. And this is my opinion, and this is what you guys can feed off of. I don't think this team will get to where they need to go until he is gone. And that's why I would like to see him go for a wing player, a taller player of that area. We don't need 2 6-foot-2 guys that kind of do the same thing, of which Mitchell is better. And I think Garland is not going to give up. Like last night after 1-6, this guy should have been dishing the ball off for it.
Yeah, he had 7 assists. When you're 3-21, you should have 12-14, shouldn't you?
That's correct. I don't want to be critical. I don't, because this team has done great. Kenny Atkinson is the best. You can't ask for more. But these are guys that have been playing on a road team AAU since 5th grade. They know what they are to do. And last night was all ego.
Let me give you one other thought. Craig Porter Jr. comes into the game, impacts the game last night. He had 15, and Ty Jerome has been terrific. I mean, right there you've got 2 point guards, Bill.
Well, Jeff, thanks for bringing that up. Porter's game reminds me of Delonte West.
And, quit talking about one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, and it reminds me because, I remember Delonte used to say he plays old man basketball. And that is back him down, and then, go to the hoop.
And always under control.
Always under control. And I had heard one time that Danny Ferry said, and this blew my mind, he asked somebody, who, when they got into the playoffs one time and got deep, someone said, who's your two best players right now that you turn to? And he said, LeBron and Delonte. And I almost fell out of my seat because here's Mo Williams scoring 20 points a game. There is a difference once you get into the playoffs. You're not playing I-70 basketball. You're not playing AAU basketball. You're playing this hard. And this Porter kid and
Ty Jerome.
Yo. Yeah. And so, Jeff, thank you for saying that. But anyway, hey, you guys, have a great day.
Bill, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Platinum show.
You just won 15 straight games to start the season. Could you even think about moving one of the core four? It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.